The fourth and final preseason game is over, and all that's left to do now is set the 53-man roster. We go position by position and make our prediction for the Packers' final 53. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the final preseason game and setting the 53-man roster. I'm flying solo today. Usually we have our monthly guest Scott McKenna of the Talking Smack blog joining us the first Friday of every month. He couldn't make it today, so you're just getting me and my unfiltered opinions on the Packers 53-man roster. What we'll do today is a brief recap of the final preseason game and then go position by position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, you name it. We'll go through each position and predict the final 53. But so quickly here, going over the preseason win 38-10 over the New Orleans Saints on Thursday evening, kind of using our post-game chips report at 24/7 Sports as our guide. The blue chip players from last night's game, starting with quarterback Brett Hundley for a second consecutive game. Looks like he's the real deal. In fact, maybe even the best quarterback in this year's rookie class. He's looked like it in preseason action. Maybe even better than Marcus Mariota. Maybe even better than Jameis Winston. Still a long time to go, no doubt about it. But Brett Hundley looking good, tossing four touchdown passes versus zero interceptions. Looking good out there once again, running around when he's got to escape the pocket. He's got some fleet feet. He can get yards on the ground if needed. But, he looked comfortable out there in directing the Packers offense. The second half of the game was just all Packers, and it was, you know, Brett Hundley taking over for Scott Tolzien. Now, I know some people out there, if social media is any gauge, wondering if indeed that Brett Hundley could overtake Scott Tolzien for the, you know, backup number two quarterback job, and I don't think that's going to be the case. Yes, I think Brett Hundley's future is very bright in a Green Bay Packers uniform. But I think it's important not to overreact to the final preseason game because take a look at training camp as a whole. The Packers had 17 practices, and those are the ones just open to the public. I think they had four practices behind closed doors. So you're talking, 21 practices, four games, 25 opportunities for the coaches to see these players in person. So really, you're talking one 25th of the entire body of work these players have put together over the course of training camp. It's important not to overreact to one game. Brett Hundley did not direct a no-huddle offense. He is working against very vanilla defenses, against second and third stringers for the most part. Not to say that isn't good. You want to see him excel in those situations, no matter who it's against. But he's not going to overtake Scott Tolzien for the number two job this year. I am holding nothing, ruling nothing out in 2016 and beyond. But Scott Tolzien will be your number two backup quarterback, at least to start the year. The other blue chip player from last night's game, running back John Crockett, the undrafted rookie out of North Dakota State. He looked good in both the running game and the passing game. He led the Packers with, I believe it was 91 all-purpose yards all told, probably about roughly half coming on the ground, half coming in the passing game. In the passing game, he did it on a variety of checkdowns and screen passes. He had scored the Packers' last touchdown of the game, a 15-yard touchdown run. He averaged like 5 yards a carry. Everything you could have asked for John Crockett, he did last night, I thought. And unfortunately, I don't think he's going to make the 53-man roster, but he did a good job stating his case and perhaps showing that he deserves to be kept around on the practice squad, if nothing else, but can't complain about his performance last night. Your red chip performances, the good but maybe not great players. I think you start with a wide receiver, Miles White, who scored 2 touchdowns, got to do the Lambeau leap 2 times yesterday in the preseason game. And you think that might be fancy, that might be blue chip worthy. But when you look at that, Miles White was also called for a offensive pass interference in the end zone of all places. That kind of downgraded him. And also on the interception by Scott Tolzien, instead of working back for the pass, Miles White kind of settled into his zone and just sat there instead of, you know, trying to, if nothing else, break up the pass instead of it being intercepted. I think those things can be overlooked when you score 2 touchdowns, but that's why Miles White is not in the blue chip category and is more of your red chip player. A few mistakes along the way. Same thing to go with safety Chris Banjo. He gave up a few receptions early in the game, but nothing deep, kept things in front of him and got better as the game went along. Had a big second half, including an interception of quarterback Garrett Grayson, in which he broke on a route and got in front of the pass. Nice interception with his hands. Also forced a fumble during the game, albeit one that was coincidentally recovered by the Saints, so unfortunately didn't account for a turnover. But when you had, you know, he was on the brink of forcing 2 turnovers that game, made 4 tackles, including a tackle on special teams. Chris Banjo doing a good job for the Packers in a game in which Clint Dix didn't play, Morgan Burnett didn't play, Micah Hyde didn't play. So Chris Banjo saw a lot of playing time at the safety position with all those guys sitting out, many Packers players sitting out, by the way. I don't need to tell you if you're listening to this show. You didn't see Aaron Rodgers play last night. You didn't see Eddie Lacy, Clay Matthews, any of the Packers Pro Bowl caliber players, the entire offensive line sitting out as they let the backups fight for these positions on the Packers roster. Your cow chip players, the worst performances. One of them going to Scott Tolzien, the aforementioned interception that we talked about before. Yeah, Miles White, you know, probably could have done a little bit more, but it was on Tolzien. I mean, he led White a little bit too much when White tried to settle into his zone and just didn't see that defender breaking on the pass. And really 3 drives stalled when Scott Tolzien started the game, started for Aaron Rodgers. 3 and out, 3 and out, and then a drive ending in an interception, and that ended Tolzien's night. Wasn't a good performance, and it's unfortunate because he had looked so good in the first 2 preseason games. Looked really, really good, in fact, and this was kind of a sour note for him to end on. Don't place too much importance on one single game. Just think back to that first preseason game, the second preseason game, when Scott Tolzien was out there looking really good. And he does have the number 2 backup job locked up. And then finally, the last cow chip of the evening, cornerback, first-round draft choice, unfortunately, Demaryius Randall, finding him on this list. And yeah, he didn't play a whole lot. So, I mean, we are talking about what 20 some snaps he played, But in those 20-some snaps, he got beat for a 45-yard completion. When you're giving up completions like that, that's not a good thing if you're a cornerback. And kind of looking lost out there as Brandon Coleman hauled in a deep one on him early in the game. In fact, it was the first Saints' first offensive play of the game. Randall, you know, there's going to be a learning curve for him as he continues to make the transition from college safety to professional cornerback. There's going to be plays like this along the way, and you just hope that this was a learning experience that he learns from in yesterday's game and continues to get better from here on out. So there is your Chips report from Thursday night's game. And now the meat of the show here, the Packers 53-man roster. I know if you're like me, I've got this all diagrammed on paper, who they're keeping at what position, as I take pride in trying to predict and being as accurate as I can in predicting the Packers' final 53. And please forgive me, and I forgive anyone. It's made a little bit more difficult this year because of the suspensions to LaTroy Guyon and Dayton Jones. The Packers do get two roster exemptions if they so choose. They don't have to use them, and in fact, they may not with a guy like Dayton Jones. So technically, the Packers, if they want, can keep 55 players on the 53-man roster because the two players are suspended. But then what happens is once they come back from suspension, they do have to clear room. The Packers would have to cut somebody, release them, or a player would have to go on injured reserve. That can happen too down the line. So I don't think actually what you're going to find here, I'm going to actually make a 54-man roster prediction because I don't think they're going to use that exception for Dayton Jones, who's suspended for just one game. I don't think they want to keep a player for 1 week only to have to cut him a week later. I don't, maybe the Packers do that. I don't know. That's what makes this so tough right now. This is kind of an inexact science here, and it's you know, it's made not any easier too. The Packers could make a waiver claim by, you know, pick up somebody cut by another team. They've done that in the past. So, like I said here, it's not easy to do this, but we'll try to do as best we can, position by position. I'll give a little bit of analysis. All right, starting with the quarterbacks, and I think it's pretty much cut and dried here. The Packers keep three of them. Yes, it was a close call, but they will keep Aaron Rodgers on the 53-man roster, if you can believe that. But they'll also keep Scott Tolzien and Brett Hundley. Like I said, I think Brett Hundley will be, at least in the beginning of the year, your number three quarterback, who is probably not going to be active on game days. Maybe he looks so impressive that by the end of the year he can overtake Scott Tolzien, but for now, going with the veteran as the number two guy. It was, you know, this decision was already made earlier in the week when on, what was it, Wednesday, the Packers had to, or Tuesday, the Packers had to get down to 75 players on the roster, released Matt Blanchard. I do wonder if he will be back on the practice squad. We will see. But yeah, this was rather one of the easier positions to predict, Packers keeping three quarterbacks. All right, moving on to running backs. I've got the Packers keeping five of them, and this includes halfbacks and fullbacks. So starting with the halfbacks, once again, tough call here. Eddie Lacy, Pro Bowl-type running back, and James Starks on top of that. Your number one and your number two guys there, pretty cut and dried. The tough decision came with the number three halfback, and I've got the Packers keeping Rajon Neal. I thought actually Alonzo Harris was making a very good bid, perhaps being the guy they would keep earlier in camp. That was until he suffered a hand injury. You actually saw it during the preseason game last night. He played with a club cast on his hand. I've never seen a running back play with a club cast ever, And in fact, it's something you would only see in the preseason. There is no way the Packers would allow him to suit up on a game day and give him a carry. Can you imagine if a running back fumbled wearing a cast during a regular season game? Mike McCarthy, I think, would be run out of Green Bay if that happened. But seeing as it's a meaningless preseason game, they did allow it to happen. But I don't think you can keep Alonzo Harris injured like that. And I do, despite a blue chip performance by John Crockett, I don't think he makes it. These guys are practice squad candidates. I think the thing that gives Rajon Neal the edge, you saw him as the kick returner last night. Ty Montgomery didn't play. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Rajon Neal kind of looks to be the backup kick returner if need be. And I think that gives him the edge over the other two. And in fact, you know, I think Rajon Neal is the best ball catcher out of the backfield on the Packers' entire roster, including Eddie Lacy and James Starks, albeit Eddie Lacy is shown to have pretty good hands too. But I think Rajon Neal could potentially fill a third down back role. It'll be a challenge for him to be active on game days, but I still think he makes the 53-man roster. Okay, the fullbacks. I've got the Packers keeping two of them. And I, honest to goodness, I really debated whether the Packers would keep John Kuhn for a while, just because, I mean, when the Packers are out there in their no-huddle offense, so often they go without that fullback, and you can imagine the Packers are going to run the no-huddle quite a bit. But then you think, well, after the injury to Jordy Nelson, that's kind of opened up the door to somebody, you know, some player on offense that the Packers could be, you know, they could be running out of a two-man backfield more often this upcoming year, and that could open the door for a guy like John Kuhn to see more playing time than perhaps he saw last year. In the end, I think they keep the veteran. I think it's a swan song. I don't think John Kuhn is kept any longer than 2015. But yeah, I also think they keep Aaron Ripkowski, primarily on the strength of what he's done on special teams. He's looked like the biggest special teams, kamikaze guy out there, the best special teams coverage guy, during the preseason, at least. And I do think he'll be active on game days because of that. He'll be pretty much on every special teams unit playing out there, and he's looked good. So, see the Packers keeping two fullbacks and keeping five running backs total. All right, looking at the wide receiver, I've got the Packers keeping five. And it, you know, we're going with the obvious ones here. Randall Cobb, Davante Adams, obviously they're keeping them. Those are your two no-brainer starters. They're going to keep the rookie Ty Montgomery, even though he's dealing with a hamstring injury right now. Nobody's indicated that it's anything serious. And I think he'll be your kick returner. I think they're going to keep Jeff Janis. There was maybe a point where that could be debated whether they would keep him or not. Jeff Janis scored his fifth preseason touchdown in two seasons last night. He is the MVP of the preseason. And I do think Jeff Janis has looked good, and I do think he's only looked better. He only seems to improve, get better every game. I thought he looked great last night, catching that pass, that touchdown pass in traffic, and getting into the end zone. Looked good. And the big question is with the number five wide receiver spot, and I think it comes down to a choice between Miles White and Jared Aberderis. And I've got to go with Miles White. I know the state of Wisconsin loves Jared Aberderis. I love Jared Aberderis. I'm a University of Wisconsin alumni. I wish him the best. But I don't know how you're the Packers, how you can keep a guy with that injury history who's basically taken part in a handful of training camp practices over the past 2 years and keep him on your 53-man roster. And I can make an argument for Jared Aberderis, and it's that I think that he has the higher upside than Miles White. I mean, obviously, that's why Jared Aberderis was a fifth-round draft choice and Miles White went undrafted. I think he has the higher ceiling. And I do think Jared Aberderis looked very natural catching punts last night. Certainly a lot more natural than Jeff Janis. And I think that's really, a check in his column. You got to work on securing the football after the catch. You saw him actually fumble last night on a tackle, but he does look natural. Like you don't worry about them muffing a punt or anything like that. And that's something to work with. But I just, Miles White has been around for two. This will be his third full season. He knows the offense in and out by now. And he did a really good job catching the two touchdown passes last night. Had a team-leading 9 receptions the previous game. I think it'd be tough for Miles White to be active on game days, but I think you give him the benefit of the doubt for now, ahead of Jared Aberderis, and you put Jared Aberderis on the practice squad and make him prove that he can stay healthy and give him another shot. Maybe he's a mid-season call-up, so to speak. Maybe you give him another shot next year. But I think Miles White gets the fifth and final wide receiver spot for now. I don't see the Packers keeping 6. I see Jared Aberderis ultimately being cut and invited back onto the Packers practice squad if they are comfortable with his injury history. Tight ends. I have the Packers keeping just 3. Usually they keep more than 3. They keep 4. I think they've even kept 5 at some point. But with the Packers keeping 2 fullbacks, I think that kind of allows the Packers to keep just 3 tight ends this year. We're going with Andrew Quarles, the longtime veteran, who may be facing suspension at some point for his offseason arrest, but until he faces a date in court and there's some sort of legal decision on the matter, it's not going to come anytime soon. He's not going to be suspended like LaTroy Guyon or Dayton Jones here at the start of the season. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen right away. So Andrew Quarles is safe for now. Richard Rodgers obviously going to make the roster. And the third tight end, this is where it gets tricky. I think the Packers will be keeping Kennard Backman, their 6th-round draft choice. It's very rare when the Packers give up on the draft choice, and I see him making it ahead of the other candidates on the roster. Justin Perillo was on the Packers' 53-man roster last year, but I don't think he's going to make it this year. Maybe he's a practice squad candidate again. I think Mitchell Henry is another practice squad candidate. He finally got the club cast off last night and was shown he can actually make a catch. But, that's what I saw from Kennard Backman last night having a nice 20-yard reception. And I don't think he'll be active on game days either, perhaps maybe at least right away. But I do think he gets the third and final tight end spot. All right, moving on. I'll preface the next couple sections here, I'll say this is where the toughest decisions are made for the Green Bay Packers in the trenches on both the offensive line and the defensive line. And I think the offensive line, the backup spots especially, is where I had the most difficult decision of all. I've got the Packers keeping 9 offensive linemen. And if I end up being wrong anywhere, this is where I think it might be. I think sometimes it's futile to keep 9 offensive linemen because, you know, really only 7 are active on game days. So in essence, what's the use? Why keep 9? But I think the Packers will be hesitant to give up on a couple veterans. Okay, so obviously you've got your starting 5 from left to right. David Bakhtiari, Josh Sitton, Corey Linsley, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga. All these guys, with the exception of Corey Linsley, have dealt with injuries throughout training camp. But it looks like they'll be ready for the start of the regular season, which is good. the as far as roster decisions are concerned, it's who they keep as backups. And I think the guy who's, you know, probably in the most solid situation is J.C. Tretter, who's your backup center. He's looked really good this preseason. I don't know whether he can play any other position other than center, but you need a backup center, and he's the guy. And from here on out, here's where it gets really tough. I've got the Packers keeping Don Barclay despite struggling at left tackle early in the preseason. You see, he didn't even play left tackle last night. They kept him at right tackle, right guard, got some experience at both positions. I think he can do better at those places. And he enters his fourth year. The Packers rarely give up on guys entering their fourth year because they become free agents. If they have a good year, they could potentially be picked up by another team. The Packers could get draft pick compensation down the road. It, you know, would it be unheard of for them to part ways with Don Barclay? Certainly not, but I've got him making it for now. Lane Taylor, and you know what? I'm going to take this time, this opportunity to give props to Lane Taylor. I've been a critic of him. I gave him on last year's postseason report card for the entire 2014 season, I gave him an F. He may have looked worse than any player on the Packers roster last year during the regular season. But he has shown major improvement. I think he's a guard only. He would struggle with quickness out on the edge. He even struggles with quickness on the interior once in a while. But I think Lane Taylor has made tremendous improvement. If the preseason and training camp are any indication, I've got him making it. And Josh Walker as well, who I think has been one of the pleasant stories of training camp, kind of an unknown coming in, was on the Packers practice squad last year. I've got him making it. But this could be the position. If the Packers were to put a waiver claim on anybody, on, you know, somebody cut from one of the other 31 teams, perhaps there's a tackle out there. That's where the Packers, that the depth is the least at tackle of any position on the roster. They've got guys that just, Don Barclay doesn't look on the edge. Josh Walker, maybe he's serviceable as a tackle, but looks more comfortable at guard. J.C. Tretter played tackle last year. He didn't really look good. If the Packers make a waiver claim anywhere, maybe there's somebody out there where they felt it was cut from another team who maybe has some potential. This might be the position where it's at. So who knows? You know, they could establish their 53-man roster. They could put in a roster claim, and then maybe they would have to clear room by cutting somebody. And maybe then they are forced to part ways with Josh Walker, I don't know who, but just throwing that out there as a possibility for right now. So 9 offensive linemen, and that was the toughest decision that I faced. All right, moving on to the defense. I've got the Packers keeping 7 defensive linemen. And again, this is where the roster exemptions come into the picture here. Really, I've got them only keeping them 5 for week one, at least, while LaTroy Guyon and Dayton Jones are suspended. I've got him keeping Mike Daniels, obviously. I've got him keeping B.J. Raji, Mike Pinnell, Bruce Gaston, and Christian Ringo. That means the odd guy out, and this was one of the toughest decisions as well. I do not have the Packers keeping Josh Boyd, despite keeping him each of the previous 2 seasons. Josh Boyd is a guy who has yet to make, in now his 3rd season, he has yet to register a single sack for the Packers in 3 years, regular season or preseason or postseason for that matter. And I know he's more of a run stuffer type of player than anything, but so was Ryan Pickett. Even Ryan Pickett got the occasional sack once in a while just because he was out there so much. And you know, Josh Boyd has gotten enough, you know, opportunities by now to show that, you know, he can't play on passing downs. He's not a pass rusher at all. So he's not the type of guy you put out there in your nickel or dime situations. He's somebody who's who's a base 3-4 player only, I think. And the Packers don't even use that base 3-4 defense all that often. It's the NFL's a passing game, and they need pass rushers out there. So this was a tough decision, but I do not think Josh Boyd makes it. And it was really tough. I think both Bruce Gaston and Christian Ringo, those are kind of the guys who were kind of on the bubble. I think they put together really good training camps, really good preseasons. You saw each of them kind of putting pressure on the quarterback last night. I've got the Packers keeping both. But again, this is one of those situations where all of a sudden LaTroy Guyon comes back from suspension. He's suspended for 3 games. He's going to come back in week 4, and the Packers going to have to cut somebody somewhere. Do they keep 7 off defensive linemen? I don't know. I've actually speculated when LaTroy Guyon comes back, maybe the Packers cut B.J. Raji then. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it at week 4. But for now, Packers keeping 7 defensive linemen, only 5, you know, for week 1 as they get the roster exemption for LaTroy Guyon and Dayton Jones. All right. I've got the Packers. This was kind of tough here too. Overall, if we look at the linebackers as a whole, I've only got the Packers keeping 9 linebackers, 5 outside, 4 inside. A little bit of a, you know, I think they would go 10, but I think this is where they stock up on the practice squad. I think they keep 2 or at least 3 linebackers on the practice squad. So if need be, at some point in the season, there's an injury, they've got guys to go to that have been around, have been experienced. But the guys who keep on the 53-man roster, 5 outside linebackers, starting with Julius Peppers. Then we've got Nick Perry. We've got Mike Neal. We've got Andy Malumba. And we've got Jayrone Elliott. The Packers, I thought for a while Adrian Hubbard would have a chance, but he didn't even make the cut down to 75, rather surprisingly. I thought he would at least make it that far, but he didn't. So this is who I've got the Packers taking for right now. Pretty much the toughest decision, perhaps surprisingly, was Nick Perry, who, of course, as you know, hasn't done much in his first 3 seasons in the NFL, hasn't done much this training camp as he missed a big portion of time with a groin injury coming off off-season shoulder surgery. But again, it's one of those situations. He's a first-round draft choice. He's entering his 4th year in the NFL. If he leaves next year, the Packers could get draft pick compensation. So I see him sticking around, although, boy, it really wouldn't surprise me if that he's one of those unexpected cuts tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised, perhaps, but I think he makes it for the time being. Who knows? Maybe he's like one of those. Just last year, you saw a former first round draft choice, Derek Sherrod, get cut mid season. Maybe it's a situation this year where Nick Perry could be facing that as well mid season. Who knows? When LaTroy Guyon comes back and the Packers have to clear room, he could be on the chopping block. But for now, he's sticking around. I don't think there was too many tough decisions there. I've got the Packers keeping 4 inside linebackers. I think Clay Matthews will play both inside and outside, but I included him with the inside linebackers for these purposes. So Clay Matthews, Sam Barrington, rookie Jake Ryan, and Nate Palmer. I've got him keeping 4 inside linebackers. It was tough. I think you can make an argument for Joe Thomas. He had the sack last night. You can make an argument for Carl Bradford because the Packers invested a draft choice into him last year. But I do think maybe those guys are both practice squad material. And you know what? Who is the toughest cut of all? It was James Vaughters, because he's the guy who's been cross-trained. He's the guy who's now playing both inside and outside linebacker for the Packers. I like that versatility. I like that he can play special teams. And I definitely think James Vaughters will be kept around on the practice squad I just don't, you know, he's one of those guys who probably wouldn't be active on game days anyway. So if you need him, you can always promote him. Now I thought this was a little bit thin at linebacker, but I've got him keeping nine. Moving on to cornerback, I've got the Packers keeping six, and I think this was a pretty easy call here. We've got Sam Shields. We've got Casey Hayward, who you can argue about whether he should be a starter or not, but that's really not really here or there. He's going to make the 53-man roster. So we got Shields, we got Hayward, you got the first-round draft choice, Demarius Randall. You've got the second-round draft choice, Quentin Rollins. You've got the undrafted rookie, Ladarius Gunter. The toughest choice was the sixth cornerback. I've got the Packers keeping Dimitri Goodson. I could understand if somebody didn't out there, because he's kind of missed some time due to injury. He didn't play in last night's preseason game, the finale. He missed time during training camp with both a knee and a calf injury. He didn't do much last year as rookie season, but I think ultimately, I don't think his injuries are going to linger much into the regular season, so he'll be ready if need be. And they end up keeping sick. I mean, they invested the draft choice into him last year, and they kept him above Jamal Roll last year. Remember, that was the big to-do a year ago. That was the toughest decision last year, was who would they keep. And they ultimately kept Goodson. There's something they like about him. Because when Dimitri Goodson has played in the preseason, I think he's looked pretty good. He's physical and he's aggressive out there, way more than he was his rookie year. So I think they keep six there. I've got the Packers keeping four safeties. Obviously, Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix, got him keeping Morgan Burnett. I've got him keeping Sean Richardson. Sean Richardson hasn't had the greatest preseason, hasn't had the greatest training camp, but the Packers made that investment to him to match the offer made by the Oakland Raiders during the offseason when he was signed to a tender. The Packers tendered him, but that doesn't, you know, prevent other teams from signing him. The Packers matched the offer by the Raiders. And I'd be kind of worried if you had to play Sean Richardson at safety, but I think he offers more to the Packers on special teams, and he at least offers that. I got him keeping Sean Richardson. I got him keeping Micah Hyde. I put Micah Hyde with the safeties and not the cornerbacks again, just for the purposes of this exercise. Obviously, Micah Hyde is your punt returner as well. I do not have the Packers keeping Chris Banjo, and he was, you know, one of the last players I decided to, you know, he was one of the last players on the bubble, one of the last players on the fence, because he offers something more than anything on special teams. He's made the 53-man roster twice, you know, the past two seasons, mainly because of his special teams play. But hey, he looked good on defense yesterday, grabbing the interception, forcing the fumble. I think they'll invite him back to the practice squad once again. Chris Banjo for now on the outside looking in. And then finally, to wrap things up here, the three special teams players, Mason Crosby, Tim Mastay, Brett Goode. I suppose the one where you might question whether they'd keep him or not is Tim Mastay, whether they would cut him and pick somebody up from another team. Although Tim Mastay looked pretty good in the last preseason game, at least his best performance of the preseason. And I think maybe that solidified his spot on the roster, perhaps. I guess I don't put too much stock into the punter position, because if he ends up failing, that's a change they can make mid-year if they have to. Obviously, you don't want to if you don't have to, but if necessary, the Packers can always make a change at punter midseason, because the same guys who are cut today are going to be the same guys who are on the street in a month from now. So three special teams players there. And that is your Packers 53-man roster. All 53 players going position by position. So rather long-winded, but that's the way I see playing out. I'm going to... You know, I'm going to make an official prediction in writing at 24/7 Sports. And perhaps between the time I publish that and right now, maybe I change my mind on one player, maybe two. And that could, again, be influenced by the suspension, perhaps. Just learn something that I didn't know before. But that's the way I see it right now. Your initial 53-man roster for the Green Bay Packers for the 2015 NFL season. And that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. And thanks for a successful training camp, a successful preseason. The regular season is now just around the corner. We are getting to actual real football being played. The preseason really is an abomination when you're looking at the quality of play out there. And excited to watch some real football being played starting next week. We'll be off for Labor Day, so no episode on Monday. We'll be back on Wednesday with our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. So looking forward to that. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. Have a nice holiday. And we'll see you later, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, usually every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. One small thing we ask, this podcast is free, no subscription, no paywall, free of charge. The one small thing we ask in return, give us a rating on iTunes. It helps us get word out about the show. But that'll do it. We'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.